Well, good morning again, everyone. There were a couple of F-15 fighter jets who were escorting a C-130 transport plane on a long mission. And as they were flying along, one of the pilots of the fighter planes was having a conversation with the pilot of the transport plane. And of course, the conversation got to a point that of what one plane could do to the other over the other plane. In respect to each other, and the fighter pilots began to trash talk the pilot of the C-130. And well, said the pilot of the transport plane, he says, "I can do some things with this old plane that you guys can only dream about." A fighter pilot said, "Oh yeah, let's see what you can do." So the both of them backed off a little bit from the transport plane to give him some room, but the plane just kept remaining in a straight course. A few minutes later, the pilot of the transport plane came back and said, "There, how's that?" The fighter pilot said, "What do you mean, how's that? You didn't do anything." The transport pilot said, "I just got up, went to the bathroom, and had myself a cup of coffee." Both planes are unique, have unique capabilities, but both are doing something that is unique to both of them. They're flying. In a way, we are like that. It is a fact that God has made us each as individuals with a uniqueness that makes each of us very special. We have different interests, we have different tastes, we have different gifts, we have different vocations. Yet in our gospel reading, we read this request of Jesus to be one. Let me set the stage of what Jesus is doing here in this reading. Much of these final chapters of John's Gospels take place in one location, that is over their last meal together. Some call these chapters the farewell discourse. It is his final instructions before his arrest and his crucifixion. And during this time, they're in this room together. And he gives them a lesson on servanthood by washing their feet. He gives them the I am lessons that we've been hearing over the last few weeks. He promises the Holy Spirit that will come. And he talks about their sorrow that will turn to joy. And then he does something else. He begins to pray. It's referred to as the high priestly prayer. And he prays for three things. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, which we heard today, and guess what? He prays for us. Isn't that great that God incarnate loves us so much that he prayed for you and me even before we were born? A question that some ask is, why did Jesus, if he is God, have to pray? Well, remember, Jesus stepped down out of heaven to become human. Still fully God, but during this period of time, he is also fully human. He is perfect in every way. But by his choice in coming to us, he is still human, and as Scripture tells us, he made himself a bit lower than the angels. He still has the authority of the Godhead, but he chose to be with us for a period of time and for a specific purpose. There is a dynamic verse in this prayer that speaks to that. It is the verse just before our reading today. Jesus is praying for himself and what he is going through, and he says this, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." You get the magnitude of that. Jesus acknowledges his presence in the Godhead before the world even existed. He was there. And here in his human state, he is saying, "I'm going to step into glory again. I came here, I accomplished the work that you gave me, I glorified your name, now, Father, glorify me." In other words, Jesus' work on earth has been accomplished. His physical presence on earth is coming to an end. Then Jesus directs his prayer to the disciples, that we heard today. These are the ones who have spent 3 years with Jesus. I try to imagine the emotion that Jesus was feeling at this time. Jesus has taken these guys literally off of the streets. He's taught them, turned them loose at times to do ministry, and now they will be the instruments by which the church will be built. Can they do it? What about their free will? How will they cope with the world around them? So Jesus says, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Among all their uniqueness, among all their frailties, among all their difficulties, among all the confusion and opinions, Father, let them be one. This prayer centers on the single most important purpose in their lives, to know God fully, to walk in His ways, not theirs, to do His bidding, not theirs, and that is exactly what happened. They came to know God in a new way, the way that the human race was created for in the beginning, that will become their purpose for living. And their mission in life will be to share that with others and to disciple others to help them grow. They will build a church. Despite all their differences, they can say to one another, "I love you, brother." They can say that because the Spirit of God does not change. When I do marriage preparation, we talk about the two becoming one, because the marriage relationship is the closest thing that we can relate to of that kind of oneness. That's why Jesus uses it so much in his own analogies, the bride and the bridegroom. Adam and Eve were, before the fall, were in perfect union, not only with one another, but with God as well. And it was sin that drove the wedge between mankind and God. It is Christ through the Holy Spirit that brings us back into that oneness in relationship. And that's why Jesus prayed something else for his disciples. He prayed for protection. Jesus prayed, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." In this prayer alone, Jesus mentions the word world 18 times. He is referring mostly to the culture world around us, not the physical world. He is referring to the things that are in contrast to God, the things that try to pull us away from God, things that contradict God's word and the teaching that Jesus has given them. Sin that would try to separate them from the perfect union that they can have with God. That's what the disciples are going to be up against. That's what the church will be up against. Read Paul's letters to the various churches. Many were not focusing on who God is. At times, they were giving in to the world around them and had to be brought back into focus. In the book of Ezra that we had been studying in our Wednesday night teaching, the same thing was going on. God was trying to refocus people on Him, not on the world around them. The church over the centuries and even today faces many of the same issues. So Jesus is praying for their protection, that they would be so filled with the presence of Christ that they could stand on the absolutes of their faith. Finally, regarding his apostles, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Now, what does that mean? We know that Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? Everybody agreed with that, right? We know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life," right? Okay, sanctify means to be made holy. Jesus is perfect holiness. What he is asking is that the apostles, these who he has turned loose to help build a church, be made holy. It is a process of growth that never stops. Jesus wants them to continue to grow in him, continue to be sanctified, to trust him. And that is the truth in that the truth in him will be made in them. And how does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit that will be with them. The power of this prayer is that the disciples would be so clothed with the presence of God that nothing would separate them from the oneness that they have in him. Nothing could separate them from the holiness of God. I think the prayer of every Christian parent when their kids leave the nest is pretty similar. Lord, help them to stand firm in their faith. Give them strength in the world around them. Help them to be a witness for you. So Jesus is praying that his disciples would be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. And he is speaking this prayer just as he is speaking it from heaven. He is one with the Father. And his prayer was answered. They preached and taught the word of God boldly. The world was changed. Despite imprisonment and even death, those remaining continued. They didn't let the world pull them apart. They too became so intimate with God through Christ that they knew the will of God in their ministry as the Spirit led them. As we have seen through the book of Acts over the past several weeks, the power of God worked through the disciples in mighty, mighty ways. The world was literally changed through their ministry, and it continues to impact the world today. And here's why. We cannot leave this prayer without looking at the third part. Jesus prayed for us. Listen to this. My prayer is not for them only. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Isn't that powerful? You see, everything that the disciples had, Jesus prays the same thing for us, to preach the word boldly, to be clothed in his glory, to be in unity with one another, to be where he is in oneness with the Father, that we will continue to make him known in the world. That kind of work only comes through an intimacy with the Father. It is a relationship with God through Christ by his Spirit. As we become more and more in him, as Christ prays, we will know the will of God. Back in 1968, a rock group by the name of the Three Dog Night, how many of you remember Three Dog Night? Okay, almost everybody remembers Three Dog Night, who wrote a hit song called One is the Loneliest Number. And two is the second loneliest, by the way. But they said, one is the loneliest number. Of course, we all know what their point was. But I say to you, in Christ, we are never alone. First, with Christ in our lives, we can be one with God and all that he has for us. We are one in the body of Christ. Yes, we have denominations and non-denominations. Some look like fighter planes. Some look like C-130s. Yes, we do things a little different from parish to parish. Yes, we have different aspects of how we conduct our services. I love the Anglican Church. I believe God called me here for this time and purpose. I grew up in the Episcopal Church. But folks, a denomination will not get you to heaven any more than this pulpit will. Here's what makes us one. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is the way to the Father. Scripture is the Word of God given to us and contains all things necessary for salvation. The Holy Spirit is at work in and through us. We are at one with Christ as individuals. We are at one with Christ as a body. And our mission is to share the love of Christ with others, despite our differences. Every priest who's been ordained says those things at ordination. If another church body differs from that core of our faith, then I have an issue. If another church body twists scripture to try to make it what it is not, then I have an issue. If a church body denies the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then I might have an issue. That's why I can sit down with most pastors around this community, and I've done that many times, and we can pray together for this community, even though we do things differently. So many times the body of Christ treats other parts of the body strange because their plane looks different and can do different tasks when they were created. All of us were created to fly because we are flying for one purpose, Jesus Christ, to be one in spirit, to be one in Christ. As we were doing the progressing through the last service and we were saying the Nicene Creed, we say these words: we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now you got to notice that Catholic is with a little c. That means universal. And then apostolic refers to the teachings of the apostles. We believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. There is one body of Christ. We are all reborn by the very Spirit of God through Christ. One is not the loneliest number when you are at one with Christ. John reminds us in his epistle, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That becomes our purpose, to come into full knowledge of the Lord. Jesus' prayer is that none of us lack what he has for us. His prayer is that all of us will be so filled with the presence of God that we will be used mightily for him. Is that the desire of your heart? If it's not, it can be. I pray that all of us would receive that oneness with Christ, that all of us would be open to move closer and closer to him as we become more and more sanctified and holy in him. I pray that God would move mightily in each of your lives as you seek him each day to get closer and closer. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes us one. We thank you that you came for us, that you died for us, that you took our sins upon that cross, that you rose again, that we can have a place for you in eternity when that day comes. So, Father, I ask that you would just strengthen us as we are here to do your bidding, as we are here as a parish, here as a body of Christ, as people all over the world are meeting today to celebrate who you are. May we remember, Lord, that you have brought us here in this body together for a reason. And so, Father, I pray for each person here that you would just continue to glorify them. Glorify us, Lord God, as we seek you in all that we do. Help us to be good witnesses wherever we are and whatever we do as we seek your leading in our lives as individuals, in our lives as a parish, in our lives in this, as the church in this community, as we bring forth your word to others. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise for all that you are doing and will continue to do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.